And we've just sung that song, No Other Name. It speaks of the power and the uniqueness of this name, Jesus. There is no other name which brings life. Acts 4 tells us that Jesus, this stone that the builders rejected, has become the cornerstone, and there is salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven by which men must be saved. Philippians 2 tells us that this name is above every other name, and at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. But this child was also given another name by the angel, in verse 23 there. And here the angel is quoting Isaiah chapter 7. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means, or which when translated, some versions will have, God with us. God with us, that's what I want to focus on for a few minutes this morning. And could there be a better truth to share with you on this Christmas morning? Three simple words. God with us. And surely these words contain the whole history of redemption, of God's plan to bring us back to himself. And they hint at a time when maybe God wasn't with us in the same way. There was a problem there that was beyond our wit and our wisdom to solve. So we're going to just unwrap this briefly this morning. We're going to look at each of those words in turn. The first is God. This child that was born into poverty from simple parents in a dirty manger under sort of questionable social circumstances, and he was kept in a humble stable in a backwater town in an occupied territory, this child was God. And that's our first point this morning. We must never lose sight of the true nature of this baby in the cradle, who from the very beginning was God in human form, the creator of all things. We call it the incarnation. John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now there are many that are willing to accept this historic Jesus as a man who truly was born and who lived and died 2,000 years ago. There are many who don't. But the truth is there are no serious scholars, either Christian or secular, around the world who doubt the fact that Jesus lived. And there are many others who are willing to acknowledge his evident wisdom and his skill as a teacher and a communicator. But they say, why should we accept him as God? Why put that on him? Why can't we just take his undeniably wise and insightful teachings and even his moral code, if we wish, and just leave it at that? Well, because as C.S. Lewis famously said, he did not leave us that option. He did not intend to. Because alongside all of those comfortable moral teachings, he said and did things that would make him a lunatic or a demon if they were not true and if he didn't really have the authority to do and say what he did. He healed the sick. He reinterpreted the Holy Scripture and he applied it to himself. He claimed that he alone was the way to eternal life, and that he would be given dominion and glory and a kingdom, and that that kingdom would last forever. He said that all peoples and nations and tongues would serve him. So these are not the words of just a good, respected teacher. So redemption could not be provided by an angel. They were just the messengers. It could not be provided by a man, no matter how religious. Only God himself, stepping into history, was sufficient. So God. God with. This word Emmanuel in our passage this morning is directly related to this biblical idea of God wanting to be with his people, present. And it was there from the start, of course, in the Garden of Eden. Mankind was created in God's image to enjoy his presence directly. And then when sin destroyed that communion, God, time and again, had to find ways to restore his presence. He reached down with promises to Abraham and his offspring, and then to Moses and the nation of Israel. He established the tabernacle and the temple. He arranged a way that sinful people could be there in the presence of God. And surely there can be no greater blessing than for God to dwell with his people. In Ezekiel, he has, chapter 48, he has a vision of the temple, and the words that are inscribed above the temple are, "The Lord is there." Of course, at Christmas, we celebrate the birth of Jesus, and we see that as that ultimate fulfillment and manifestation of this desire of God to come and dwell with his people. But what does it mean that God is with his people? Well, I could see four ways at least that we can think about this and help to understand it in really this modern society. First of all, God with us means that he shared the limits of our humanity. He was truly one of us. He would need to be born, he would need to grow, he would need to learn, he would eat, drink, and sleep like we do, he would sweat and suffer fatigue, and eventually, of course, he would bleed and die, just as we do. Philippians 2 said he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he emptied himself and he took the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. So God with us in our humanity. Second, I think we can think of it as God is with us in reconciliation. This is like the sense of he's with us, not against us. He's on our side. He comes to save and not to condemn. God can now be with man and embrace sinners in a way that he could not have righteously done if Jesus had not come and died. Scripture says that God has reconciled us to himself by the death of his Son. The third way to think about this word with is in the sense of communion and understanding. So God with us means that we can commune with him. It's a bit like when we ask someone, "Are you with me? Do you get what I'm saying?" He's not far off. He's not separated. The curtain of the temple is torn in two, and we have open access to the Father through the Son. We can pray to him. We can approach him as friends, in fact, as his children, and we can rest in those promises and those blessings and look forward to an even greater communion in eternity. Finally, thinking about God with us, he's with us in action and power. It's that sort of sense, if God is for us, if God is with us, then who can be against us? God truly is on our side, and all things are possible because he is God. I think David said it best when he faced his personal opponent, the giant Goliath. He said, "You come to me with a sword and a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts." He knew it was a very uneven battle. So God with. And then finally, us. God with us. This is personal. So it's not God with them over there somewhere, or God with mankind generally, or of course both of those things are true. It's God with us. And it's communal. It's not God with me, although that is true as well. It's not just that. God is with us as a people. And it's contemporary. It's in the present tense. It's not God was with that nation or that period of time. We can see he came and was gone. It's here, it's now, it's personal, and it's ongoing. Unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. There are times when I'm sure you feel that God is far from you. We all do. There's times where you must have felt abandoned or lonely or in pain or rejected or bullied or in grief or faced temptation. Perhaps you've even faced death. David felt that way. And in Psalm 10, he wrote, "Why, O Lord, do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble?" Well, friends, this morning, these words and this promise and this name of our Saviour, Emmanuel, God with us, that should give us great comfort and true joy. One of the reasons we meet together as a people, and it's so hard to do the Christian walk by yourself, is that we get to share each other's stories and we get to know each other a little bit. But it can only be a little bit. We can never truly know the depths of pain or suffering that some of us have been through or are going through now. But what I can tell you is that God knows. There is no path that you can walk on that he has not walked before? Are you in poverty, financial need? Well, Jesus had been there. He had nowhere to lay his head. Are you grieving? Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus. Are you hungry or friendless or tempted or alone? Well, so was Jesus in the wilderness and on the mountainside and in the Garden of Gethsemane. Do you feel forsaken by God or far from his blessing? Jesus knew even that agony on the cross. But God promised to never leave us or forsake us. And though his friends and his followers would do that to him, Jesus promises to be with us eternally. The book of Matthew closes with the same promise that it opened with. Jesus promised to be with his followers until the end of the age. And Romans 8 reminds us that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Just listen to this list again. Shall tribulation or distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I'm sure that neither death nor life, angels nor rulers, things present, things to come, powers, height, depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. This morning, I'm so thankful that El Shaddai, God Almighty, is also Emmanuel, God with us. And when speaking of this passage, Spurgeon, of course, describes it beautifully. God with us. He said, God, there is the majesty. God with us, that's the mercy. God, there's the glory. God with us, there's the grace. God alone might strike us with terror, but God with us fills us with hope and with confidence. So what's our response this Christmas morning? God had always wanted to be with his people. That's clear, and he went to extravagant lengths to make that happen again and again, and ultimately culminating in the baby in the cradle. Extravagant lengths to restore relationship, and he still wants that today. But if he has come to us, then surely we can go to him. We need to appropriate those blessings and make them our own. So what a blessing that this baby, who was given those two names that first Christmas morning, did indeed go on to fulfill the promises and the prophecies that were tied up in those names. God, Jesus, God who saves us from our sins, was also our Emmanuel, eternally God with us. And Charles Wesley captured these truths nearly 300 years ago in a beautiful Christian hymn, which we're going to sing very soon and close. It said, veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these truths which are just too great for us to grasp, Father, but they are powerful, they are eternal, they are new every morning, and they are so real and precious this Christmas morning for us, Father. May your word just pierce our hearts, Father, and in a way that brings us hope and joy and just a confidence that indeed you are with us. No matter what comes our way, Father, you are with us until the end of the age. You are with us personally. You are with us as your church, Father, as your people. Father, you love us, and that love was just poured out this morning, and we give you thanks for that. Father, as we go this way, we are mindful of those who are not here for various reasons, Lord, travel or illness or just being away with family. Father, protect them, bless them. Lord, give us, Lord, the joy of seeing them restored to fellowship soon. We thank you for those who have been able to come, Lord, this morning after a period away as well. And Father, we praise you that we do this walk together, Father, with your Holy Spirit to guide us, to bind us together, Lord, and to give us joy. And as we worship you now, Father, we pray that you would go before us into this day and this week. We ask it in Jesus' name.